Hallelujah. No, I'd like to preach about three things at once, but that's impossible, so I'll go in one direction. I'm glad to have David here tonight with me in the service. He's just been up in Kenny, Missouri for a few nights, and I'd like the Spirit of the Lord, but there's something that makes us have this Spirit. That's the Word of God.
Amen.
It's good to fellowship together in the service. And every time I come here, I feel a great spirit of liberty.
Thank God.
I believe I could preach most anything as long as it's biblical. It'd be all right. But tonight I'd like to read from the book of Numbers. I'm going to read 9 verses. The first verse through the 9th verse for my thought tonight. It came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it and sanctified it and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them, that the princes of Israel, heads of the house of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribes and were over them that were numbered, offered. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered wagons, 12 oxen, a wagon for 2 of the princes, and for each one an ox, and they brought them before the tabernacle. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take it of them, that they may be to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. And Moses took the wagons and the oxen, and gave them unto the Levites. 2 wagons and 4 oxen he gave unto the sons of Gershon, according to their service. 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave to the sons of Maria, according to their service. Under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest, but unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders. I'd like to speak to you tonight on a thought about things that just can't be put on wagons. Now, I guess you know what a wagon is.
Yeah.
You know, we live in a day when folks, this new generation is coming on that's raised in the city, they don't know much about a wagon. But I know what a wagon is. How many of you ever saw an ox? You ever see an ox pull a wagon?
You drove one.
You never did. Of course, you never did.
I drove one.
Maybe we ought to have a preacher altar call tonight.
Bless the Lord.
But I have seen, as young as I am, I've seen ox pull wagons. But of course, it was something for us to see then, even then. But it used to be something that happened all the time. At this particular time, in the time of the days of Israel, this was a great and wonderful day for them. Because the tabernacle in the wilderness was the greatest, most wonderful thing that they had. It was the place where the presence of God was. Just like we cherish our church houses that we assemble in here tonight, like this one, the Israelites cherished that tabernacle in the wilderness.
Amen.
That's where they went and got their sins forgiven. That's where they got their spiritual attention.
That's right.
And the service of the priests and all of that was there. And they had to have this. It was their spiritual livelihood.
Bless the Lord.
I would describe to you the tabernacle in the wilderness tonight. It would take so long for us to go into that. But the Bible said that the Israelites moved from place to place at various times. The Lord commanded them to move. He gave them a sign, a fire by night and a cloud by day.
Yes.
And when it came time to move, they had to pull up this tabernacle and everything and move it with them. Take it with them wherever they went, because that's where God's presence was.
Amen.
And when the Lord said move, he meant to move.
Glory.
And to take everything, they had to take it. Up until this time, everything that had to be taken, all the metal, the curtains, the gold, the silver, the boards, the sockets, everything that it took to make up this tabernacle, they had to take this material and carry it themselves. They had to bear the burden themselves. So one day, the Bible said God moved upon some people to come and make an offering to the Levites, that they could take these things, and no longer did they have to wear or bear them on their shoulders, but they could put them on a wagon and just switch the old ox, and they didn't have to carry it any longer.
Bless God.
Now, you talk about living in luxury. This would have been luxury in that day.
Sure.
Today it means nothing for a man to have a Cadillac. I don't guess. A lot of people have them, and that's nice. It's nothing for people to own fine automobiles and fine homes, and it's nothing for us to have a nice church like this, which we appreciate. But in that day, it really meant something, because they had to do it the hard way. They had to shoulder all this material. But could you imagine, here comes somebody with a wagon and an ox, and they drive it up and say, now you just tear the tent down and take everything apart, just pitch it on the wagon and just switch the old ox and go on. You don't have to carry it any longer.
Bless God.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord.
That was a great day.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I remember having church in storefronts, and I remember having church under brush arbors. I remember going to Rush Harbor, and we managed to get a hold of an old piano one time, and it came up a big rain, and we went back, and it rained all down that thing, and it's swollen all up, and you couldn't even, it wouldn't even make a noise. First time I ever took my wife
sparking.
We sparked.
Back in those days.
We went to church under an oak tree and sit on a slab turned upside down on some something. I don't know what we were sitting on. And we sat there. We didn't have a back. We just sit there. Of course, we wasn't too much interested in the preacher, but we sit there. But that's the way we had church. And I've seen the preacher. I've seen him pump the gas lantern. I've seen him swallow the bugs. And I've seen the day when we had church with a guitar and not many strings on it. But we don't have that anymore. I mean, it's a glorious day. We have all this beautiful music. And it was a great day. People say, man, we need 40 years ago. No, we don't need 40 years ago. I don't want any more of that. I like that experience.
That's right.
And it's even greater today, because we know more about God than we knew back then. And we have learned a lot of things. God is teaching us. We're more involved in this, because there's more in this. Hallelujah. We found something that they didn't have back there even. I believe that. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you one thing. It was a good day when they could put everything on the wagon, just throw it on the wagon and switch the ox and say, come up and let's go. And that was a good day.
Yes.
And it's a good day when we came to our church house.
Bless God.
But it was a bad day when we just threw everything on the wagon and said, we've got it made now.
Oh God.
We don't have to do anything.
I see.
You know, we do live in a day when people are depending on material things.
I'll get to something, Rickard, if I can make a shout a little bit.
We're doing all right.
Praise the Lord.
But we do depend on these things too much.
Amen.
At home here a while back, we have a young lady in our church that is a good organist. In fact, she played the organ on this recording that I made. And she's good. And when she's not there, it seems like we just lost. Mm-hmm. And we depend on these things a lot. You know, it's part of our service. It's a help.
Yes.
And a lot of times we just throw it on the wagon. We throw it on Brother Rendell. And we throw it on Sister Brenda. And we throw it on the pastor. And we say, come on. You know, I used to go to conventions years ago, camp meetings. I remember going to a camp meeting one time. Old preacher said, come on, Brother Johnson. Said, get up there and sing. Get us stirred up.
Yeah.
I said, bless God, stir yourself up. I didn't come to carry the whole load. I just came to worship God. That's all. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. If I'd have been that old ox, I'd have balked. Hallelujah. Praise God. Friends, listen. It was all right. Don't you know that those Israelites felt good?
All right.
That day when they could just haul off and just put everything on the wagon and lay everything on the wagon and didn't have to carry it anymore and they could just walk down the road and not have to worry about anything. Don't you know that was a wonderful day? Sure, God.
Sure.
But you know, you can just overload the wagon sometimes and you can put too much on the ox and he can't pull it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. There was a few things, and I'm going to get liberty. These shirt collars have got, well, they make them too small. But there was a few things that they couldn't throw on that wagon. The Bible said, he said to the sons of Kohath, he said, there are some things that belong to the Holy of Holies, the pieces that make up the spirituality of this church.
Yeah.
That these things, like the table that you put the shewbread on, and the altar of incense, and he said, the golden candlestick, you can't throw that on the wagon. He said, you're going to have to pick it up and put it on the elders, and you're going to have to carry it, and it's a burden, but that's the spiritual thing.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
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 You see, it's no burden to play the organ. It's no burden to sit and listen to this beautiful music. It's not even a burden to pay your tithes if you love God. Hold on.
Amen.
It's not a burden to give the offering.
Praise God.
Oh, it's not a burden.
No.
Folks will give. They'll grunt a little, but they'll give. It's not really a burden. It's a blessing.
Hallelujah.
I wish everybody knew that.
Amen.
That's the greatest thing on earth.
Amen.
It's to be faithful to God.
Faithful to God.
You just can't outgive Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's not a burden. Look here. As far as that's concerned, the world has got us beat 2-1.
Uh-huh.
They build cathedrals. They give thousands of dollars of money.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know what? I thought about that Roman Catholic nun who is deceived.
Amen.
Brainwashed.
Amen.
I rode the other day in Namlos with a young man. I had a funeral. I had to drive. We had to go about 80 miles to burial. I drove with the undertaker. I rode with the undertaker. And he said, Brother Johnson, he said, I enjoyed the service today. He said there was something about it that had a little something in it that you don't find everywhere.
Bless God.
He said, I am a brainwashed Roman Catholic.
Oh God.
He said, I was put in a school when I was a boy. And I was kept there. But he said,
in this day I begin to wonder why that they have a right to change all these things where we couldn't used to eat meat on Friday, now we can eat meat.
He said, I realize I'm brainwashed. But that Roman Catholic nun that was one time a little girl, you don't have to teach these little girls over here how to play dolls.
Amen.
You don't have to teach them how to play house. They know how. It's their nature to be a mother.
Amen.
It's their nature to be a housekeeper. It just comes automatic. That's right.
Amen.
That Roman Catholic nun, that little girl, used to do the same thing because it was her nature. But when she got older, she gave up all of that to be a Roman Catholic nun.
Mm-hmm.
If she knew what God had in store for her, she'd hate God.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's deceived, mm-hmm. and she's doomed by her deception.
All right.
That Roman Catholic priest that was like any other boy used to play, pretend to be a man. I used to get an old bucket lid and drive all over the hill. You know, I had a Ford and a Chevrolet and a Model T and a Model A, and it was just my nature as a boy to have a car, be a man.
Yes. Yeah.
Get a bunch of rusty nails and drive them under the wall somewhere.
I heard this little boy of mine here a while back. I heard an awful racket out in the utility room. He pulled it all down. There was something way up under there he needed. Had to build something. He pulled it all down, left it laying there. That was my problem. But he wanted to be a man. But this Roman Catholic priest gave up all of that to be a Roman Catholic priest. Sometimes we think, Lord,
I'm carrying a heavy burden. Folks, it's the greatest privilege that you ever had to be in the Apostolic Church.
Hallelujah. Hear me. Hallelujah. I'm on. I don't want to do something I'm not supposed to do here. But there's some things about this church that you just can't throw on the wagon.
Bless God.
There's some things about this church that we have to cherish.
All right.
It's a burden.
Amen.
It's a burden.
But it's a great thing to have a burden.
Amen.
And he said, put it on your shoulders.
Hallelujah.
Let me get down here.
Glory.
Put it on your shoulders.
Yeah.
And have it.
Hallelujah. Oh,
because this means the spirituality of this tabernacle. If these Kohathites, if they are not willing to tell these things, then we won't have a spirit. Thank God for the faithful people of the church that's willing to be here every time. They are seeking God. That's what your church is.
All right.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
You say, where is the church? The church is in the hearts of those who are concerned enough to carry the load. I was up in Kentucky preaching, and they had a little prayer meeting in the daytime. And I went out there, and I saw something I never saw before. I saw a woman standing, crying, and smiling at the same time. And she said to the pastor, she said, oh, brother, she said, I believe I've got a burden for my brother-in-law. I went back home and preached on the blessing of a burden.
Hallelujah.
Everybody wants to ride. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to throw it on the wagon. And said, let the old ox pull alone. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to walk along and have me a good time. Mm-hmm. Let the ox pull alone. Friend, there's some things the ox is not supposed to pull. He's not going to pull. And it can't have reality unless we put those things on our shoulders and carry them.
Amen.
Ooh.
Hallelujah.
What this world needs tonight and looking for.
Thank you, Jesus.
Is people who are willing to carry it on.
Amen.
You know, you hear people say, they say, what's the matter here? You say, well, I got a burden. You know, you say, what are you?
I'm critical.
Our faith tonight is looking for.
Thank you, Jesus.
Is people who are willing to carry a load.
Amen.
You know, you hear people say, you say, what can I hear? I don't know. You know, you say, what are you? I'm critical. Yes, sir. The fellow walked up to me the other day and he said, He said, I'm going to break it. Which we have.
Yes, Lord.
I think we ought to take some of these things off the wagon and put them on our shoulder and carry them.
Thank God.
You see, there's some things like prayer. You just can't put prayer on the wagon. The ox can't carry your prayer. And praying is more than just saying things, but it's agonizing on God.
Yes.
I heard a man say one time, and I agree this because I know the man. He said, Brother Johnson, we had a lady in our church that was dying with cancer. And he said, I said, Lord, you can't take this woman away from us. He said, this woman is a good woman. He said, I prayed until my bowels were sore. And I thought, my God, and I knew him, and I knew he did that. That's what you call agonizing with God. Hallelujah. But we're living in a day, I didn't come to criticize you, just came to preach. We're living in a day when folks are not praying anymore. They're not talking to God anymore. They don't have the blessings of God. They don't have the burden. They pissed it on the wagon. They got through when they quit.
All right.
And the ox is loaded down and he can't hardly pull it.
All right.
And we're not getting along so good.
Preach it.
Hallelujah. Witnesses to something else you can't throw in the wagon. Somebody's got to spread this gospel.
Amen.
You can't do all of our serving God in the church.
Amen.
We can't do all of our witnessing in church.
Amen. We call it, let's have a testimony service. Who's going to witness? You see, we're not witnessing in here. We're witnessing out there. They threw it on the wagon. They said, we've got our church and said they'll have to come to us.
Oh God.
They won't come to us.
Right.
No, they won't.
We've got to go to them.
Right. Hallelujah. We can't put that on the wagon.
Amen.
The ox can't carry that load.
Amen.
That belongs to the church.
Right.
It's the spirituality of the church.
Amen.
Supposing those Kohathites, as they walked along that day, when the Lord said, let's go, and they tore the tabernacle down, and they took the pieces, and they just pitched it on the wagon, and they just switched the ox, and they walked along. They left the important things there, because they couldn't put them on the wagon. The Bible said, you cannot put these things on the wagon. They have to be carried on your shoulder.
Amen.
High on your shoulder. The burden of God needs to be carried high. Men and women that walk upright and smile on their face and walk down the street and say, yes,
I've got a burden of God.
And I'm happy.
Because it represents power.
Sure.
I never have to change.
Get it off the way. Don't you feel sorry for me, Lord?
Oh, my.
Don't you know he's give out? Don't you know he's tired? Really, I'm going to take up for the preachers. I feel sorry for preachers sometimes. That's the truth. I've gone in churches where the preacher was carrying all the load. I don't know whether it's his fault or not. Probably was. But he just carrying all the load. He's financing the church. He's doing everything. He just is out there on the See, maybe he didn't ask somebody to help him. Friends, this is not my load to carry.
Bless God.
This is our load.
Amen.
Praise God. Yes, it is. I read a little something one time. There was a missionary went to Africa. He was working with the lepers. And he was writing back home. And every time he'd write, he'd say, folks, these lepers need no help. One day while he was writing, he said he looked down as he's writing on a piece of paper. He looked down, and on his hand he saw a little white spot. He had just gotten through writing. He just said, these lepers need your help. He just scratched through the word these, and he looked at that spot and he said, we lepers.
Bless God.
Need your help. Folks, this is not your church, brother. This is not your church, folks. This is
our Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
If there's going to be an apostolic church in this building, on this street, in Pine Valley, we've all got to carry the Lord.
Amen.
I even feel the effect of it all the way over to Memphis, Tennessee.
All right.
And I belong to all these churches. This is just one man's load, it's everybody's load.
Praise
God. And the Austin parents, he said there's some things that you just can't put on the wagon. You know, I remember back when I was a boy, and we had the Obama team. And I remember very well that sometimes they just didn't have the power to pull up some of the hills. And I remember pushing up. We'd get up just as far as we could, and we'd jump off, and somebody front and starts the thing, and we'd push it on up the top. You see, nobody wants to push, but everybody wants to ride. And when we get to the top, we'd get on it, and down the hill we'd go. And the wind was blowing, and we were really riding. Hallelujah. Everybody wants to ride, but who wants to push?
Glory.
Praise God. Everybody wants to put it on the ox, but who wants to bear the burden on their shoulder?
Glory.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm talking about Jesus' name. One God, apostolic church, and I'm getting happy while I'm doing it. Doing
anything, I hear
people
say, there's just a few of us. Sure. I
have never been in any church yet from what there wasn't just a few.
Yeah, amen.
To carry the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sometimes I'm amazed at the church that I pastor.
Uh-huh.
I see folks come in, and they just sit down, and they just look for fruit, and they just come out for dinner, and they just act like they're just walking on cloud nine. Won't be back no more for a month. I remember one fellow come to our church occasionally, and that fellow, when he's there, that's the best church he ever saw. He loves that church more than any church he ever saw in his life. He loves God. He's going to do anything. He won't be back for a month. Where'd he go? He's going nowhere. At home. That's how much he loves the church. You know who's carrying the burden? I'll guarantee he's not.
All right.
He got to fix it on the wagon.
Hallelujah.
I got news for him. Hallelujah. He'll never make it if he don't bear that burden.
Amen.
He just hold on. You won't really be happy and get happy like I'm getting happy. You just sit your alone and pray.
No, that's right.
When they get sick.
Oh.
You know, I just got here late tonight. I haven't talked to your pastor, and Brother Husband didn't tell me anything. So I don't know anything. But I just wonder how some people have got the gall to call the pastor. But do you know the people that I visit the most and worry with the most? The folks that the less good. They're not worth a dime to God. And say, why worry with them? Because it's my obligation. And every time they call, I go. I just keep coals on their head. Praise God, that's right.
Amen.
And I pray. And they're sick. You know, they're just sick to make me. And I say, oh, God. Oh, God, I rebuke the devil. Praise God. Help them to be faithful to God. They don't know what I'm praying about, but I do. Friends, hear me. Hallelujah. I'll tell you the truth. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that God wants people who are willing to carry the load. Let's get it off the wagon and get it on his shoulders. I hear people say we want to see signs and wonders and healings and Holy Ghost and baptism. Sure I do. And you'll see it when folks unload the wagon and get it on their shoulder.
Hallelujah.
You can't stop God from blessing a people who will bless God.
Hallelujah.
I heard Brother Wilson teaching a Bible lesson here a while back, and it stuck with me. He said, folks, he said, God's been good to me. Then he paused for a minute. He said, but you know, I've been good to God, too. And it rang a bell with me. You be good to God, God be good to you. It's a wonderful thing when you don't get embarrassed when you call on the throne of grace.
That's right.
I'm doing a good job meddling. But you see, when Jesus was here, he said it was 10 to 1. He healed 10 lepers. One of them said, thank you, Jesus.
Bless God.
You know what the other 9 did? They just said, God, my Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
They said, I don't care if they have 15 or 20 in something. It'll make me no difference. Right? Hold on. Folks, now here's what I believe. I came here to tell you what I believe. I believe. If you remember this church, you ought to be concerned about every window light, every light bulb, every fan, every number on that board, every soul in the kingdom of God, everything.
Keep
walking down the street. Everywhere you go, hold it down. Hurry up. Hallelujah. Look, you've got a church here, and time's up. And I didn't even know I was going to tell this. That I wouldn't be ashamed to ask the person of the United States, the King of England, to come to. Listen to me. If he could feel what I felt tonight, then we.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's not the number on the board, but the backbone of the church.
Amen.
I went to a church in Corinth, Mississippi, and Brother Rubbish knows the pastor. They had 150-something in Sunday school. We had a funeral there. And I was talking to one of the men in the church, and he said, tonight's prayer meeting. And I said, well, do you have a pretty good turnout for prayer meeting? He said, if the pastor's here, he said there'd be 5 of us here.
Lalo.
But he said, if the pastor don't come, there won't be but 4. Mm-hmm. 4 out of 150.
Think about it.
I hate to preach in a place like that. I'd be with you cold enough you could skate down the aisle. I believe that God's church is emotional.
Yes, sir.
They demonstrate their spirit.
Yes.
Praise God. When folks walk in the door, they will feel His presence.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't have any doubt with what they're doing here tonight. I'm just not that hungry. I don't see any food. Folks, you know what it takes to have that? It's everybody carrying his burden on his shoulder.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sure.
Oh, yes, sir. What a few things you put on the ox. There's a lot of things about the church that just automatically go along, like machinery, you know. The Sunday school department. I mean, there's a lot of things.
Bless God.
The music, the singing, maybe even the preaching.
That's right. Yeah.
Those things. They go along pretty good. I think I could preach a little bit sometime, anywhere. But the real reality that's in God's church comes because people are burdened.
Amen.
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 I don't know how long I'm supposed to preach. I don't even know what time I started.
You
climb back over here. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. That's another thing. Worship. Worship. You know, to make the Spirit of God desirable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
You can't throw that on the wagon.
Amen.
People say, I don't feel like raising my hand. Well, raise many hands. Say, I don't feel like saying praise the Lord. Say it anyhow. Everybody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
If you never get one out, you can get two out.
Praise God.
They say, I don't feel like working in the altar. Try it.
Praise God.
All
right.
These things, you just got to do it. That's all. We have to offer a sacrifice of praise. Oh, many times I've gone to church, and you have too, when I was so tired.
Right.
I've gone to church when I felt so bad and so cold, and it seemed like the service was dead as a hammer.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's hard to say, praise the Lord.
Uh-huh.
But you know, you get to stand it a little bit. First thing you know, you get a little louder.
Glory.
Next thing you know,
praise God.
You've got honking. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But you have to do it.
Amen.
Praise God. I've noticed something. Sometimes we have some sailors that come out to our service. We have a man in our church that's a retired Navy man, and he brings them out. There's something about the Apostolic Church. The other Sunday, he had about four or five sailors and about two waves that came. And so, we started the service, and of course, people, they started worshiping, clapping their hands. I mean, the Spirit of God was good. We just getting with it, you know, really getting with it. And I noticed they got to looking at each other, and got to looking at their hands, and got to looking at their bodies, and that's when they got sitting like this. Hallelujah. The first thing you know, man, we had them clapping their hands. They just something about this. You see, folks, what if you was looking for reality? You came in one of these churches, and you sit down, and people sitting around there with their legs crossed and arms folded, and you know, and just nothing going on. No! And the same, just nothing. What in the world? What'd you do? I heard this one time. A man and a woman decided they'd commit suicide. But they talked it over. They said, well, let's try one thing. She said, I'm going to shoot myself. He said, I'm going to jump off the bridge. They said, let's try one thing. Let's go to church one time and see how it works. So they went to church. They went into church, and they went to one of these big, dignified things. They said, this woman got up, and she sang, and she went out of church. Way up there, that teen voice, you know, and she really got on out of here with it. And when she got through, the preacher got up and he talked about Mars and Jupiter.
You know what they did? The woman shot herself and man went off. I don't know whether you, if you're really concerned, then here's what I'm trying to get to you tonight. As an individual, you ought to be so concerned that everybody hears this message.
Glory to God.
Sister Rutledge, we ought to be concerned as an individual that everybody heals this spirit.
Yes.
You see, the Bible says the letter kills, but the Spirit makes it live.
Hallelujah. Sure.
Now, if somebody comes to the church house and they feel the Spirit, then the preacher can preach, and something will happen.
Hallelujah.
But if he can't feel the Spirit and the preacher preaching, he's going to kill him. I've seen it happen.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Oh, Lord, come on, sound good. I know this is not. But here, I'm telling you the truth. I have seen preachers kill folks. I mean, there's no telling how many people that have been murdered from the pulpit.
Amen.
Because it wasn't his Spirit. I
believe
in the Spirit.
That's right.
But you can't have this if you don't get it off the wagon and put it on your shoulder.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not lost. Praise God, that's right. I'm glad I'm not a wagon. Because these older folks can load more stuff on. I used to meet, I passed a little church in Alabama one time, and there was a fellow over there, I'd go in, his name was Caldwell, and I'd go in the church, and I didn't know then, I learned better, I'd say, how do you feel, Mr. Caldwell? He said, oh, he said, I got the asthma, and he said, I got the sprained back. And I got tuberculosis. And man, he had so many things. See, he couldn't have died. He'd had got run over. He been impossible. And I thought, oh, what a blessing you are, brother. You're really a blessing. You probably fooled the whole crowd.
Oh, yeah.
No, you really got it. Praise God. Somebody probably, you really got a testimony. You know what I learned when I went in the church? To do better than that, I'd say, hello, Mr. Caldwell, you're looking good. And before he could say one word, I'd go. Because if I stayed there 1 minute, I'd say, Mr. Caldwell, you're looking good. He'd say, oh, but I don't feel good. So I didn't give him a chance. How many things is on the wagon? Folks is complaints, griping, fussing, feuding. Hallelujah.
All right.
Jealous. Hatred. Tightwads. Won't do nothing. Won't say anything. Won't say. Won't witness. Won't worship. Won't pray. Won't do anything. Turn on the wagon. Hallelujah. Man, you'd have to have a scoop and a shovel and a pick and I don't know what all to get it off. But praise God, I never have put it on. I'll say this. I'm not boasting tonight, but I've been carrying my load for 20 years or no.
Hallelujah.
I've seen folks that rose up and passed me, but I met them going back. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'm not the smartest preacher in the world. I'm not the best preacher in the world, but I'm still preaching.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Right.
I've been in one place for 12 years and I haven't done anything, come out from anything, but I'm still there, still got fellowship. They haven't run me off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if I got any sense before they do, I'll leave. But I'm glad
Glory
that God fixed it
Amen.
To where you couldn't put this thing. You see, things you can't put on wheels,
Amen.
They just won't roll along. We have to bear these things.
Hallelujah.
You see,
social interest organization. That's right. Programs. Uh-huh. All these things.
Sure.
I'm going to say this tonight. One reason that some churches look so good, they built it on organization.
Right.
Now that's a God truth. Uh-huh. I hate to say this, but it's the truth. Hallelujah. It's the truth.
Amen.
And as long as that system holds up, it'll be all right. Sure. Well, I know churches where they don't have to study anything. They don't got it. Oh, they get in the mail.
Amen.
I mean, their programs are already programmed. They don't have to programize it, and it's already programmed. Hallelujah. If you keep up with it, you're doing all right. But it's the truth.
Uh-huh.
But I remember half time, everywhere I looked at the Calvin College Church and the Acts of the Apostles, and I dare you to read the Acts of the Apostles.
Hallelujah.
One end to the other. If you don't get enthused and thrilled and condemned,
amen.
We had a Bible here a while back, and I said, I'm not going to ask you to fast to pray. I'm going to ask you to read the book of the Acts of the Apostles. If you don't get excited over that, we can't have a Bible. Every time I look at the apostles, praise God, they're in jail and down on the knees praying. Believe me, God, trying to get a hold of something. Praise God. Oh, praise God.
Praise God.
Here.
Praise God. Come on.
Those two disciples that were on their way from Jerusalem to Emmaus. The Bible said it was 14 miles from Jerusalem over there. They walked along, you know. Here came Jesus. They didn't recognize him. But they said, you know, there's something about this. I got the heart murmur. Hallelujah.
Oh, bless God.
Well, Gene Russell was preaching the other night, and he said, I was walking down the street the other day, and he said, a preacher came along. Phenomenal preacher. And he said, the man got to tell me about his degree. He said, Brother Russell, I just got my D.D. degree. Well, he said, what's that mean? Well, he said, I'm preaching any big church in town anywhere now. So I'm up there in good shape. And he said, now I was an uneducated whole preacher. He said, I thought, well, Lord, what have I got? And he said, all at once, he said, the Lord said, you got a D.H. degree. He said, you know those disciples walking over there towards the next? And the Lord appeared to them, and they said, did our hearts not burn them? He said, I gave you a burning heart.
Hallelujah.
I like to run through the city. Folks, that's what you've done.
Amen.
That's a terrible affliction, but it's a good one.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But you know what happened when Jesus appeared to them? When they got there and they recognized him, they bid him to come in. He sat down and he ate with them.
Glory.
They had walked 7 miles. He left them and they jumped up and said, let's go back to Jerusalem and tell about this. They walked 14 miles one afternoon.
Hallelujah. Glory.
They got energized by the presence of God. Listen, if you'll take the load and put it on your shoulder, he'll give you energy and strength and power. Woo! Hallelujah! You don't have to worry about getting tired. They forgot their tiredness.
Amen.
Sure they did.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you get anything as a Christian, you'll have to get it the Bible way. Now I'm going to try to close. You see, the cloud appeared in the daytime. They saw the fire of the night. That meant God said, pick it up and let's go. Move. They said, we got to have this tabernacle because that's our strength. The church is my strength. If I could get all the young couples at 4248 Gray Road to realize that their children need to be brought up in the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's where you get your strength in the church.
Amen.
I said it. That's what you get to
see. Yes, amen.
This old one night, we got folks at home that come Sunday through here. We got folks at home that come to Sunday night, period. You can't survive on that.
Amen.
You got to have this.
Praise God.
Am I making too much money?
No, we're not.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Well, I had a young man sick over the weekend. He was so sick. Well, I don't see that today. He was work. You see, he stayed home and recuperated when he was at work. You know what? You know why he did that? It was his livelihood.
Love.
If he had punched that clock today, he missed $20,000. He made $2,000. But, brother, this is more important than $25,000 or $30.
Yes. Amen.
It is. Our spiritual, this is my spiritual livelihood.
Bless God.
I'm going to have this. And all that chicken dinner I had, I mean turkey dinner, Christmas dinner. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As much as I want to eat, I like this better than that.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Praise God through. I can't have this unless I'm willing to sacrifice. Now, I'm told. But here, they get ready. It's time to move. They start tearing that tabernacle down, taking it apart, piece for piece. The things that he said to throw in the wagon. They start throwing in the wagon. Hold on, tap the songbook. They don't throw in the wagon. They put the boards and the socket and the brass and on everything. Everything. They put in the wagon. Hallelujah. When they got it all on the hills, these three pieces of furniture that he said you can't put that on the wagon. Now supposing the Kohathites should all say, let's just put it on there anyway. It wouldn't work.
No.
To begin with, it wouldn't work.
Amen.
But they put it on there, and here they go down the road. And they just walk in love. And man, they don't have to tear a thing. But the old lock, they just got something so strict, the old lock's so big, and down the road goes. And they just walk along and say, man, this really is it. We really haven't got that. Hallelujah. Don't have to do anything, just. We're really having a good time. And they got to the place to where they had to put it up again. They stopped the ox and the wagon. They started taking things out and they put them together and they put the tabernacle up. But there's something missing somewhere. Hallelujah.
Bless God.
Hallelujah. Something missing. And couldn't you see those things? They knew that without those pieces, sacred pieces, that had to be carried on men's shoulders. They wouldn't have anything with just an old tent.
Amen.
I'm telling you, they said it was the most expensive structure that had ever been made or ever sent, compared to what it was made out of and what it looked like. Uh-huh. It was trimmed in gold and silk and all those things. But they had nothing but just a tent. And here was these pieces out here that made up the spirituality of that tabernacle.
Bless God.
Oh, I could see them as they got it all ready. And standing there, said the man, said, where's the Kohathites? Said, who are they? What happened to those sons that spoke to carry those pieces? We can't have a tabernacle if we don't have those pieces that make up the spirituality of this thing.
Bless God.
Oh, somewhere down the road, that old Kohathite, but I was hard to carry this old table that I laid down. Let it go. That don't make a difference. What they shout, what they have in reality, what anybody gets the Holy Ghost knocked on, make no difference. They didn't do it like that, folks.
No.
Hallelujah. I've seen people cower. They said, well, I'm just going to quit. Well, go ahead and quit. But you'll die and go to hell.
Yes.
Yes. I've seen people say, well, but I said, they'll make it all right without me. No, they won't make it all right without you. And you won't make it all right.
All right. Amen.
It takes all of us.
Amen.
Together.
Sure.
Working, striving, praying, seeking God.
Right.
It is the job that we've got to do, friend.
Right.
No, sir. Down that road they saw them come. They had those pieces way up high on their shoulders. Walking down the road, telling them, coming toward that heaven. They said, praise God. Here comes them burden bearers. From midnight, and I've looked and I've watched the people come.
Yes.
When I see a certain person come in, I say, there comes that old burden bearer. So we're going to have a lesson tonight.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you the truth, folks. And then I see somebody come in. Praise God, if they hadn't come, it wouldn't make much difference.
Come on, baby.
Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher.
Glory.
I have a brother-in-law. He can walk all up and down the hills and hollers and bird rock all day. Little old skinny fellow weighs about 115. That's the truth. He can be in sun through 5 minutes, and he'd be sound asleep. You know what? The devil's working on that fellow. The devil's putting him to sleep. So he won't hear the word of God.
All right.
Because if he don't hear the word of God, he can't be saved.
Amen.
He's my kinfolk, but it's the truth.
Amen. That's right.
And you know what? I like to see everybody in church, but when he's not there, you can't tell what gives him spirit.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you one thing. There are some folks that's really missed.
Bless God.
Right.
Right.
You don't feel the Spirit here tonight, just about it.
Amen.
I'll tell you, I feel like preaching all night.
Hallelujah.
Somebody's been carrying this thing.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I don't mind selling out in the middle of the road.
What?